119. Psalms 119, verses 25 through 32. The Bible says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous words. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Now, I want to look at this psalm this evening for just a little bit, Lord, being our helper, and on just a simple thought, hope in the midst of sorrow. Hope in the midst of sorrow. Some great sorrow here has overcome the psalmist. He is overcome with grief, and in his sorrow he prays. What better way to face problems than to pray? This is the first of nine prayers in this psalm for God's quickening in his life. The psalmist finds a gleam of hope amidst the gloom in the fact that God is still on the throne, still mighty to save, still sovereign over all situations and circumstances of life. This psalm divides into two main parts, and the first is what the psalmist realized there in verses 25 there through verse 30. The psalmist realized that God's word has the answer to every need in his life, and we see him applying God's word to his life. And I'm glad that that still holds true today for you and I. I've always said this, I believe that there's an answer to every problem that we have, every situation that might arise in our life, during those times of grief that we may feel, and when things are not going like we think they should. I'm glad that there's an answer to whatever that problem may be in our lives. And the psalmist realized that. No doubt he's going through a dark time in his life. And I believe we all go through times like that in our lives. We get to that point in place and we just don't know which where to turn and which direction. But I'm glad that God's word always holds true. And I'm glad that there's always an answer to our problem, whatever it might be, if we want to know, if we'll go to the Word of God. And then number two, we see not only what the psalmist realized, but then what the psalmist resolved. There in verses 30 through 32 here. And we find that the psalmist made these three resolutions. Number one, his decision to live for God there in verse 30. And we find he said there in verse 30, he said, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." And he'd made up his mind. He decided that he was going to live for God, that he was going to go with God. And you know, no individual this evening that is saved, you're never going to go on with God. You're never going to choose to live for God until you make up your mind and have that decision that come what may, hey, I'm going on with God. I'm going to live for God. And then number two, his determination to live for God. I believe not only there has to be a decision in our life, hey, but there's a determination that we're going to have to make to live for God. This world and the things of this world will draw us away. It'll draw our heart away from God if we're not careful. And we're going to have to have a decision to live for God, but also we're going to have to determine in our heart that that's what we're going to do. No matter what the problem might be, no matter what may come our way, there's going to have to be a determination, because I believe there's enough to knock everybody out of church if we don't determine in our heart that we're going to live for God. And the psalmist realized that. He had faced many things probably, and this dark time in his life. And we got to be careful if we to let those things tear us down and to destroy us. And there's going to have to be a determination to live for God. And then number three, the resolve that he had to his desire to live for God. And I was talking to a lady this afternoon, and People will tell you that they're saved, they made profession. No matter if they made it as a little boy, little girl, or middle-aged, or teenager, or whatever. Hey, I've seen a lot of people, they never darken the door of the church. Hey, they never have any desire to live for God. And yet, they'll tell you dogmatically that I'm saved, that I'm going to heaven. Hey, and a lot of times, those people are more sure, seems like, than those that are living for God. And it amazes me, but the psalmist made these three resolutions, his decision, his determination, and his desire to live for God. And if I didn't have a desire to live for God and go to church and to be among God's people, it don't matter whether it's a big crowd, a little crowd, a medium-sized crowd, hey, we ought to have a desire, I believe, a God-given desire to live for Him, to please Him in our life. And so I want to give you three things this evening on this thought of a hope in the midst of sorrow. The hope in the midst of sorrow. And I know that no doubt Carly is sorrowing in her life, in her heart tonight about what's going on with Jacob, and she don't know nothing. She don't realize where he's at or what's taking place, but I'm glad there's a God in heaven. Hey, there's a God in heaven that knows exactly what's happening, what's taking place. Hey, it may just be a maneuver that they're doing. You can't never tell. The Army does different things in training. Hey, they throw things at you a lot of times and put you in situations and to see what you're made of. And if they told you, if they told them what they was going to do, there's a lot of them young men that would tell exactly where they were going, what they were going to be doing, and it would jeopardize the what's going on there, if it is serious or whether it's not serious. But God is in control, and I'm glad that we can find comfort in God and knowing, hey, that He knows what we're going through. He knows exactly what's taking place in our life. So we find the psalmist is no doubt in a place like that, in a situation and circumstances of life has brought him down to a gloomy time in his heart, in his life. And we see what the psalmist decided here, and where he found that hope that was in the midst of the sorrow that he was feeling in his life. Number one, we see this evening a decision to run. A decision to run. There in verse 32, he said, I will run. And he said, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. The psalmist here in deciding to run asks God for four things in his life. Hey, you're going to have to decide whether you're going to run with God, what crowd you're going to run with, hey, which direction you're going to go. And the psalmist had made up his mind. He'd purposed, I believe, in his heart, here as he pens this psalm, hey, that he was going to run with God. And so four things here he said and mentioned as he asked God for these four things. Number one, he said, teach me. He said, teach me there in verse 26. That word, teach, it comes from a word that means, I can't even pronounce these words in the Hebrew, but it's lamad, and it means to learn, to teach, to exercise in. To learn, to teach, to be taught, to be trained. You know, if you're going to live for God, you gotta be taught. Hey, living for God don't really come naturally except for the fact that the Holy Ghost is in you. And if you allow Him to, He will lead you in the right path and He'll teach you the right way. But the Holy Spirit, I'm glad He gave us the Holy Spirit for a purpose, and that was to teach us. Somewhere in the Bible says that we have no need of anyone to teach us. But what He's saying in reality is that the Holy Ghost would take what you get, and He'll teach you how to apply that to your life and how to live for God. I believe that. But people have to be taught. That's why it's so important when a person first gets saved is that we teach them, first of all, what has just taken place in their life. I didn't know what all took place in my life when I got saved. Hey, I didn't realize that God had justified me. He had declared me righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that when He looks at me, He looks at me and the way that He looks at His Son. All He sees is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has covered my sin and taken care of my sin debt and your sin debt. I didn't realize that I'd been declared righteous. I mean, in my own self, I can't imagine being that righteous. But when God looks at us, all He looks at is His Son, and He sees what He's applied to our life, that work of imputation, where He's imparted to us the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Did we deserve it? No. But I'm glad that He's justified us. I'm glad that He's sanctified us. I didn't realize that, and you neither did you, most likely, when you first got saved. Hey, we just knew that there was a load of sin that had been taken off of us, and that burden and that load had been lifted off of us, and we felt that peace in our heart. Hey, but then when we began to go to church, we learned about these things. We learned that we had been justified, that we had been sanctified, that part that God has set us apart for His service. He set us apart to use us. And we was talking to a young lady a while ago. I believe she said that she believed that a person was saved to serve, that they weren't just saved to go to heaven. Hey, but they were saved and they were left here for a specific reason, and that reason is to serve God. And whatever capacity it might be. And I think God's got something for each of us. But we have to be taught. And the psalmist realized that he needed to be taught the precepts and the judgments and the about the Word of God and about the testimonies of God. And he said, teach me there in verse 26. Not only did the psalmist ask God to teach him His statute, hey, but also he said, make me to understand. Make me to understand. You know, there's a great difference in being taught and understanding. I still read and hear a lot of things sometimes, Brother Darrell, I don't understand. And I have to ask the Lord to help me to understand what You're saying to me. That word comes from another Hebrew word. It means to discern, to understand, to perceive. We need discernment. We need to be able to understand what God's saying to us. And so many times we read things in the Bible that are hard for us to understand. And it takes the mind of God. It takes the Spirit of God to enlighten us, to teach us about the precepts and the testimonies of God and the judgments of God and the different things, hey, that He's put in here for. There's an answer for whatever's in our life that we might need. Hey, but we need to understand. We need to understand those things that we're being taught. Hey, there's a difference in being taught and understanding. Teaching gives facts. And understanding applies the facts that have been taught. It's sort of like wisdom. Wisdom is taking the things that we know and knowing how to rightly apply them to our life. I mean, there's a difference in knowledge and wisdom. And just the same way, there's a difference in teaching someone and then them understanding. It's the teaching gives facts about life, about the Word of God, but understanding can come only from the Spirit of God. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it is, verse 14, for the natural man understandeth not the things of God, for because they're spiritually, and they're spiritually discerned. It takes the Spirit of God in a man, and it takes the desire to understand. Now, a person can have the Spirit of God in their heart, and they don't have a desire to understand. They ain't going to understand nothing. That's why they're so confused. I talked to another lady this evening. I told Debbie, I said, she's confused about some things. I mean, people's got these wild imaginations about heaven and what's going on up there. Hey, they ain't setting up around River Life fishing this afternoon. I promise you that. And just because somebody enjoyed gospel music don't mean that they're saved. I don't care who they are or how good they could sing it or whatever. Hey, a man has got to have the Holy Spirit living in him. And I believe that when a person gets saved, if they're truly saved, I believe that God will use them and give them what they stand in need of and give them the understanding. Just because they think they're saved, somebody says that they're saved, it don't mean they're saved. And I'm not trying to water down their testimony. I'm just saying, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And if there's ever been a time that we need understanding among the people of God, I believe it's in the day and hour that we're living in. Not only did the psalmist ask God to teach him His statute and to make him to understand the way of His precept, but also he says, strengthen me. He says, strengthen me. You know, there's times in our life that we all need strengthening. Those low times, those dark times, those times when we don't understand what's going on in our life. I mean, we need strengthened. And we find that taking place in our life every day. He said there in verse 28, he said, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Hey, I'm glad God's got the answer that we stand in need of. And as we learn God's statutes and apply those things, there will be times of heaviness and we must depend on His strength, not just our strength. But there's times that we're going to have to depend on the strength that only God can give. And all that the psalmist here desires up to this point, he finds in God's Word, in His statutes, His precepts, and in His strength. And if there's ever been a time that God's people needs God's strength, today is the day that we're living in. We're living in dark times. And it amazes me sometimes how people that are saved and go to church, they don't realize what perilous times we're living in. We are living in perilous times. If they realize how perilous the times are, hey, they would be more apt to be in the house of God. And realize what their families are facing, what their friends are facing out here. When we leave, when you leave your house in the morning, you don't know whether you're going back home again or not that day. It's dangerous times that we're living in, and we need the strength and from God. We need Him to strengthen us through these perilous times in which we're living in. Notice one more request the psalmist made here. He said, "Remove from me," verse 29. He said, "Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously." Have you ever seen I seen this, and it's pretty good. He said, have you ever seen a straight river? Canals are straight, but all rivers seem to be crooked. If you get a map and you begin to look at those rivers and the way they run, I mean, they wind around every which way. And they take the path of least resistance. They go against a hill, and I know some places down in the Piedmont that I really can see how the creeks and the branches run, and they'll come down, they'll be running, and all of a sudden they'll take a deep turn, and I have seen them just curve back around, and you walk yourself to death around those bends in those rivers, Brother Darrell. And so rivers are crooked, and they most always run downhill. You know, most people are like rivers. They're too lazy and immature to put forth much effort into walking with God. For most people, it's easier to watch TV than to pray, and it's easier to read their newspaper than to read their Bible. And so we see here, hey, the psalmist here, he said, "Remove from me the way of lying." Have you ever seen a time when people lie so much? It's amazing how people lie. Politicians lie. Everybody just about you come into contact with, you can't believe nothing much nobody says anymore. Even preachers a lie. I mean, it's just a natural phenomenon, seems that that people just lie. A lot of people would rather lie than to tell the truth. He said, but we find a lot of times that people are just going with the path of least resistance. So not only do we see a decision to run, but then number two, we see a determined course. A determined course, verse 32. "The way of thy commandments." He said, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." I don't believe that for the most part, most people have the right desires. However, many of those with the right desires don't have the right determination. And we find that all the time. And living a Christian life comes down to the determination, hey, we have to stay with God regardless, day and night, day in and day out. We have to put our mind's attention and our heart affections on the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, if you don't stay with the Word of God, and if you don't put your mind, if you don't set your heart to follow God and to walk with God and have a determined course in your life, you'll be off course before you know it. I've seen a lot of people that started out right, but because they didn't have a determined course, they fell by the wayside. And so we see the psalmist said he had a determined course. He said, "The way of thy commandments." Number one, he said "I have chosen," verse 30, "the way of truth." The psalmist here, he's just asked God to remove from him the way of lying. Now he deliberately chooses the way of truth, and he records his decision to live for God. He said, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." I wonder this afternoon, have you and I really chosen the way of truth? Hey, there's so much confusion out here today, and people have chosen the path of least resistance. Churches are not what churches used to be. Churches are not teaching the truth of the Word of God anymore. Hey, they're more concerned about having and I'm not just saying this because we got a small crowd, but a lot of churches are just more concerned about having programs and things going on and something to keep people in the house of God than they are preaching them the truth. And them programs and the things that they do, most of the time they're not necessarily bad things, but when you leave off the preaching of the truth, warning men and women, boys and girls, that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, and that there is a right way to walk, there is a right way to live, there's a right way to conduct ourselves in this world, hey, that we've missed the mark, and we've not chosen the way of truth. Number two, he said, "I've laid judgments before me." Hey, he wasn't going to compromise what God had already decided about. What God had already settled. He said, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." It wasn't up for discussion. The things that God had already judged and the things that God had judgment on, hey, he said, "I'll choose that way." And whatever God has said, hey, we might as well accept it, apply it to our life, and go in that way. It ain't going to be popular in this day that we're living in. But he said, "I have laid judgments before me." Number three there, he said, "I have stuck." Boy, that's something, ain't it? Verse 31. He said, "I have stuck." He said, "I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame." I mean, he has said he has stuck to the testimonies of God. Hey, people don't stick much no more. People don't stick much. They're wishy-washy. I mean, they're in, they're out, they're up and down. I believe if we get in this Bible and let this Bible get in us and we begin to walk with God and that peace that we can enjoy in our life that most of the world don't know anything about. They don't understand why people will go to the house of God and spend their time around a bunch of people, Bible thumpers, and that's all they want to do is to go to church and live for God and walk with God. We don't drink and we don't smoke and we don't chew and those things that most of the world do, and they wonder what we do for a good time. Well, we go to the house of God. Hey, we enjoy fellowshipping with God on a regular basis. Hey, we can go to the wherever we go, and I'm glad that, hey, we can take God with us, and we can take the Holy Spirit with us, and we can enjoy those times out there that most people, they have to do something sinful a lot of times. And I'm not saying we're perfect, and we're not going to cock a holier-than-thou attitude or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you, hey, there's peace in walking with God and living for God and serving Him. Notice not only the psalmist's decision and his determined, but lastly here we see that he had a declared result. He said, "Enlarge my heart." I mean, the psalmist, he had a declared result. Even though the problems was come, it was dark and gloomy times in his life, hey, he had a declared result in his heart. He said, "Enlarge my heart." He said, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." The psalmist here realizes that if he's to ever have an enlarged horizon, he must first have an enlarged heart. God must enlarge his heart, such things as church and praying, our private time alone with God. Hey, must all be an interest that God implants in our heart and in our soul. Hey, the psalmist desires to live for God, and he asks God to enlarge and to increase that desire so that he'll end up running in God's ways. You know, the only way we're going to ever accomplish and do what God wants us to, if we allow God to enlarge our heart, hey, we're going to have to get that point in place where we want to live for God. We want to walk with God. Hey, we're going to have to determine within ourselves, hey, that we're going to serve Him no matter what might come our way. You look all through the Bible and you'll find individuals that they made up their mind that they're going to serve God. And I'm going to promise you, there'll never nobody serve God, walk in His ways until they make up their mind, Brother Darrell, that they're going to go with God and they're going to serve Him no matter what might come their way, the problem. Then when the dark times come in our life, I'm glad that we got one that we can go to. Hey, I'm glad that we've got a God that we can trust and know that He's in control of our situation, no matter how gloomy or how dark it might be. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, said, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I believe if we serve God with the attitude, hey, that we're going with Him no matter what comes our way, and we'll place our faith and our hope in Him, we'll get in this Bible and we'll seek God, hey, I'm glad He'll enlarge our borders. He'll enlarge our horizon as we go through this life. He'll open up doors that we never thought could be opened up. I believe we'll see people saved that we thought never could be saved. I believe we can see God do and accomplish things in our life, hey, that we never thought could be accomplished. And even though the dark times come and the problems come, I'm glad that we still got a God, hey, that cares about us and what we're going through. Psalm 37, verse 4 said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart." You know, most people are living on a lower plateau in their lives than what God planned for them to live, because they're not delighting themselves in the Lord and in His Word and in the things of God. If there's ever been a time that we need to get close to God, that we need to walk with God in this world that we're living in, hey, it's the day and hour that we're living in. It's going to get darker. Hey, it's not going to get no better from here on out. You say you're a preacher of gloom and doom. Well, I'm glad that we've got something we can hold to. When the gloom and doom comes, hey, I'm glad we got a God that we can trust. I'm glad we got His thoughts on any situation, hey, that might arise in our lives, and we can turn to Him. Him, and He can give us that peace when the problems come and when those dark times come and when those things happen, Carly, that you don't understand and you don't know what's going on. I'm glad God can give you peace. He can give you peace and He can give you some perception this afternoon. I'm glad He's one that we can turn to. The goal is not to think about finishing, but rather to start right and to end right. Hey, to start, we need to decide to run. Hey, we need to determine the course and then declare the result, as the psalmist did here in Psalms 119. The psalmist knew that he could trust God. Hope in the midst of sorrow. I'm glad that we got hope that this world knows not of. Hey, I'm glad that we might not understand everything, but we can understand some things, hey, that God will let us take a peek at every once in a while. Those dark truths that if we'll get in His Word and we'll trust Him and we'll allow the Holy Spirit, He can give us the understanding. Hey, I don't know everything that's going on in heaven, and neither does nobody else, but I can tell you what, hey, I got enough spiritual discernment to know, hey, some things that ain't going on in heaven. I've said this a lot of times. The Bible says to be absent from bodies, to be present with the Lord. Now, my daddy, my mother, and any of your loved ones that's died and gone on this evening, they don't have their glorified body yet. That's something that we just don't know. Now, I don't know what's going on, but I do know that one of these days Jesus is coming back, and their spirit and soul that's gone to heaven to be with God, they're in the presence of God this evening. I don't know if they got what kind of body or if they even have a body. I don't think their spirits and souls are just floating around up there and waiting on the return of Christ. But one of these days there's going to be a resurrection. Hey, Jesus is coming back, and it's ripe for Him to come right now. And He's going to come down. He's going to say, "Come up hither." Hey, and them saints that's gone on, they're coming back. Their bodies are going, their spirit and soul is going to be united. They're going to get that glorified body that's going to be raised in incorruption. And we're going to heaven. We're going to worship Him for throughout eternity. Eternity. Hey, they ain't even got to the judgment seat of Christ yet. Think about that. I mean, we're all going to appear before God. far as I know and understand, hey, we'll all appear before God at the judgment seat of Christ after we get our glorified bodies, because we couldn't stand in the presence of God or Jesus, hey, without that glorified body. So a lot of things we don't understand. I mean, you ain't going to worry about your husband or mate probably there, because they neither marry or given in marriage. I mean, I think we'll know as we're known. The Bible tells us that. That's just a little glimpse of understanding. And these things that goes on in our lives, sometimes we don't completely understand them. But I'm glad that God can give us hope for those dark times, those times of sorrow when someone's taken from us unexpectedly, and whether it be by death or whatever way it might be, I'm glad that He can give peace. And we can rely on Him during times like these, that we can have that peace that passes all understanding. I'm glad we got a great God. Hey, I'm glad we got a great Bible that we can look into. The testimonies, the statutes, the precepts, and all those things that God has given us. The law of God. He talks about it in many different ways this evening. I'm glad we can find answers in this Bible if we'll just get right down and trust Him and rely on Him to give us the understanding that we stand in need of. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to bow in Your presence. We thank You for the privilege to be in Your house this evening. Lord, we thank You that You did give us a Bible, Lord, that we can find the answers to life, Father. And Lord, the things that we face sometimes, the things that we don't understand. And Lord, we're glad that You said that You'd be with us, Lord, wherever we might be. And Lord, that You'll give that peace and comfort. Lord, it's just peaceful and comfort knowing that our souls are saved and it will be with You one of these days. But then, even while we're walking in this world and the dark times come, I'm glad that there is a God that's comforting us as Your children, Lord. And I just pray that You'd help us to always be mindful of that. Lord, we love You. We thank You again for the privilege to come on a Wednesday evening, Lord, and be with those that's unable to be here this evening, Lord. Be with other churches. A lot of them are just now starting. Lord, and I just pray that You'll bless those services, God, and Lord, that those that are discouraged, God, might be encouraged by just going to the house of God this evening, Father. Have Your way, Lord, as we go our separate way. We love You, and we thank You again for the privilege to be here. Lord, meet with us back on Sunday, and we'll give You glory and praise. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. Anybody got a word or testimony?